Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here for another episode of Beers with Chad. So today I'm going to be talking about the quarterback matchup in next weekend's Super Bowl. I'm going to be talking, is Patrick Mahomes going to be goated with a victory next weekend? Will he have already, at this early stage of his career, be able to arguably have passed Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time? Also be talking about someone else that you could talk about as the next Tom Brady, and that's Mr. Brock Purdy, how I see his career unfolding thus far, comparing to this stage of Tom Brady's career, comparing to this stage of other great quarterbacks' careers, and you know what the narrative about him is and what it should be. Today, I'm drinking Chapman Crafted Beer, Smash Factor, from right here in Orange, California. Haven't had this before, but the guy at Mesa Verde Liquor was very glad that I bought it because he seemed to like it a lot. Hopefully I'm not doing too shitty of a pour here on screen. Kind of a shitty pour, but you know, that wasn't the best. But anyways, if you're here in Orange County, you can probably get this for yourself. That's Chapman Crafted Beer, Smash Factor, Pale Ale. Cheers. It's pretty good. And finally, today's episode of Beers with Chad is brought to you by the Juggernaut AI app. And if you want to get the smartest program for you, totally customized adaptive training that grows and changes with your feedback and progress, visit juggernautai.app and use the code BEERS to save on your subscription for the lifetime of the subscription. So here we go. Beers with Chad. Cheers to all you fine folks.
People around always find a way of looking down. They remember my family name, always talking about where I came from. Wouldn't give me the time of day, never listen to a word I say. Now they want to act like their best friend. What a coincidence.
All right, so today we want to be talking about the most important positions as we head towards the most important game of the year. So we're talking the two Super Bowl quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy. So Patrick Mahomes is already, for many people, in the discussion of greatest quarterback of all time. And with a win next Sunday, can he already be considered the greatest quarterback of all time? So I don't know anyone right now who doesn't consider Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls, you know, all these career passing records, to be the greatest quarterback of all time. But how are we thinking about Brock Purdy, you know, versus Tom Brady? A lot of things I hear right now is like, well, Tom Brady has 7 and, you know, Mahomes only has 2. Well, yeah, Patrick Mahomes has only been the starter for 6 years. So of course he doesn't have 7 Super Bowls. It's a ridiculous comparison. And that's part of my issue with the way that people talk about Patrick Mahomes, the way that people talk about Brock Purdy, is that they're comparing, you know, the entire career for Tom Brady or whoever else it is versus, you know, a partial, maybe, you know, less than half, a third, you know, in Brock Purdy's case, maybe an eighth of what his career ultimately will become. So I think to have an honest discussion here, we can't go on the fool's errand of comparing, you know, Patrick Mahomes' 6 years as a starter to Tom Brady's 23 years. So we need to have a context around this. What did Tom Brady's first 6 years as a starter look like? And I want to contextualize all of this as well, you know, and be upfront about personal biases that I have in this. You guys know I'm a 49ers fan, and I like Tom Brady. I respect Tom Brady. But in the context of this time period that we're going to be talking about with Tom Brady, the first 6 years of his career, 2001 through 2006 seasons, so 2002 through 2007 Super Bowls, I did not care for that pretty boy, Tom Brady. And, you know, that was a couple things. I liked Peyton Manning more. It was always Brady versus Manning. I was like, Peyton Manning's a much better quarterback. His individual accomplishments were far greater versus, you know, the game manager, Tom Brady at that point, which, you know, we'll get into more. But probably the real thing that put me over the top of not liking Tom Brady and not liking the Patriots in that early 2000s time, you know, where I eventually came to respect their commitment to, you know, commitment to excellence and the process of which they went about everything and to be able to sustain everything for that long. But in the early 2000s, you know, my end of high school into my early college career, I was not a fan of the Patriots and not a fan of Tom Brady. And most of that had to do with the massholes and not even actual massholes, like wannabe massholes. So I started college in the fall of 2004 at the University of California, Berkeley on a track scholarship, throwing the shot put. And we had a couple guys on our team from Rhode Island. And you think Rhode Island on the Cal Berkeley track team seems pretty random. That's because Rhode Island is one of very few states that has the hammer throw and the javelin as regular high school events. So they're probably kind of disproportionately, and especially that time in the early 2000s, disproportionately represented in college athletics for, you know, what a small state it is in small population. And this was a time where the Patriots were beginning the greatest dynasty in the history of football. The Boston Celtics, you know, were getting the big three towards the end of this. The Red Sox were, you know, right at and then winning their first World Series. Maybe the Boston Bruins too, but a hot, hot time for Boston area sports. And these guys from Rhode Island are just claiming and repping, you know, Boston sports so hard. And they were kind of assholes. And they had so much fuel to fuel their asshole fandom. It made me that much, you know, madder about pretty boy Tom Brady and the early 2000s Patriots. So what was Tom Brady in those first 6 years of his career as we compare his first 6 years as a starter to Patrick Mahomes' first year, 6 years as a starter? Tom Brady was, number one, a great story because he was pick number 199 and he overcame all this stuff and he stepped in for injured Drew Bledsoe and that was awesome. He was the leader of a highly accomplished team, winning his third Super Bowl at the end of his sixth year as a starter. And he was a very clutch player. He had led, you know, game-winning drives in the Super Bowl, a drive against the Rams and a drive against the Panthers where Adam Vinatieri kicked game-winning field goals, as well as, you know, what he did in the snow game against the Raiders. And he had a lot of like comeback wins and really clutch in that moment, in those big moments. And more than anything else, he was a game manager. And game manager, yes, it gets used in this pejorative kind of way. And I think it, you know, people talk about Brock Purdy as a game manager and they certainly mean it in that pejorative type of way. But Tom Brady was a game manager and he managed them to three Super Bowls, but he was not, you know, in the words of Cam Newton, a game changer. And he wasn't asked to be, and he wasn't needed to be, certainly, because they were still winning the Super Bowl. But looking at their Super Bowl championship years, 2001, 2003, and 2004, Tom Brady had games, including the playoffs. He had played 56 games. 23 of those 56 games, he threw for under 200 yards. Four of those games, he threw for under 100 yards. Over that first 6 years of his career, Tom Brady's average game, you know, his per game average, was 227 yards on 61.9% completion percentage for 1.5 touchdowns and 0.8 interceptions per game. If you see a stat line, you're looking at box scores, you're looking at fantasy football stuff, you know, on a Sunday night or a Monday morning, and you see someone who's averaging 227 on 62% completion, the touchdown and a half, you know, so two touchdowns 1 week, one touchdown the next week, and almost an interception per game, they're a game manager. If they're winning, which Tom Brady certainly was, they're a game manager. If they're losing those games, they're a guy who's out of a job. So Tom Brady, yes, clutch player, leader, and that intangible quality of Tom Brady is, as anything that's intangible, very hard to measure. And he did it in the biggest moments, and it was awesome because he was this low draft pick, and that was, celebrated so much. But going back, people, they want to talk about Tom Brady, and they talk about the entirety of Tom Brady's career. But in the moment, in, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, this was the conversation about Tom Brady. He is the game manager. Peyton Manning is the game changer. But Brady's clutch, he does it in the big moments. He lets his great defense and great running game, support him. And then when they need him in one of those last minute drives, he comes through, and that's awesome. But he wasn't out there throwing for 300 yards a game. He wasn't throwing 2-3 touchdowns a game. He wasn't throwing the ball, down the field. He was short passes, which kind of, he always was short passes with the exception of the Randy Moss years in there. He was check downs. He was screens to these good receiving running backs. He was protecting the football, and he was letting his highly ranked defense and Bill Belichick win them football games and then ultimately win them Super Bowls. So in that same career span, what has Patrick Mahomes been? Like Tom Brady, he's the leader of a highly accomplished football team. Two-time Super Bowl champions, potentially three-time Super Bowl champions in that same time span. He would be able to equal Tom Brady in those first 6 years. He has gone to the AFC Championship game every year of his career, and gone to the Super Bowl one extra time where, yes, he lost to Tom Brady, and we'll talk about that. But in those first 6 years, Brady missed the playoffs in his second year as a starter. He lost in the divisional round in 2005 and lost in the AFC Championship in 2006. Mahomes does have one AFC Championship loss in all the times that he's been there, losing to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And really the worst, at least for the second half, performance of Patrick Mahomes' playoff career. He's a clutch player. The Chiefs came back to win both Super Bowls that they have won under him. He came back in 13 seconds against the Bills in that divisional round. Like, Patrick Mahomes is clutch, whether it's the crazy comeback against the Texans earlier in his career when they were down by, 28 points, and they, rattled off like 42 in a row. Patrick Mahomes is clutch. He finds a way, just like Tom Brady. But he's doing it in more spectacular fashion. Probably the most spectacular fashion that any quarterback has ever played the game. So we looked at those Super Bowl championship years for Brady, 01, 03, and 04, looking at the Super Bowl winning years plus this year as they go to the Super Bowl with the potential to win next weekend. Games under 200 yards passing, including the playoffs, 8 out of 55. Brady was 23 out of 56 under 200 yards passing. With that, Patrick Mahomes has thrown for over 400 yards 5 times. Brady did that 0 times. Average stat line, Brady 227, Mahomes 296. Brady 62% completion, Mahomes 66.5% completion. Brady 1.5 touchdowns, Mahomes 2.3 touchdowns. Brady 0.8 interceptions, Mahomes 0.65 interceptions. So he's thrown for more yards, more efficiently, for more touchdowns, with less interceptions. There's no comparison between them in the first 6 years of their career. As we get into a little bit of advanced stats, which actually aren't available for this early part of Tom Brady's career. But if we look at these 6 years versus Brady's entire career, which is really doing Brady a favor because he became a better quarterback, beyond this 6 years. Air yards per attempt. How far are they throwing the ball down the field each attempt? Brady averaged for his career 2.1 air yards per attempt. People talk about, Brock Purdy, check down merchant, Dak Prescott, dink and Dak, all that kind of stuff. Tom Brady, 2.1 yards. So he's throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage a lot. The screen passes, swing passes, And that's not to denigrate him. And, it's not to denigrate Brock Purdy when people say that, even though it's not even true. Because, getting the ball out on time, more compact windows, like you run your offense. whether that's throwing the ball down the field, whether that's throwing short passes, timing passes. You know, Joe Montana, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, that was the West Coast offense, short passes. You know, but 2.1 to 7.8, huge, huge discrepancy. So as you look at that comparison, the first 6 years of each of their career, there really is no comparison. Patrick Mahomes, so much more excellent as a quarterback. Team success, yes. Does the quarterback highly influence team success? Certainly. But Patrick Mahomes is having a much greater influence on his team success than young Tom Brady was on his. So you might be saying, yeah, but you know, Patrick Mahomes has so much more help, you know, better weapons and more support in winning those Super Bowls. So let's look at it. Patriots, offensive weapons, very, very strong run game. First Super Bowl year, Antoine Smith ran for 1,157 yards that regular season. And then in their next Super Bowl, 2003, next Super Bowl win, 2003, Corey Dillon ran for 1,635 yards that season. That's a huge number. And yeah, it's a little bit different time of the NFL. And certainly Patrick Mahomes is benefiting from some more protective rules around, you know, receiver contact and not getting hit as much at the quarterback. That exists. I don't know how to normalize these numbers for that, but even if we are normalizing them in some way, Patrick Mahomes's are better. 1635 is a big, big number for Corey Dillon. That's a running football team, you know, that Tom Brady was game managing them to victories. Unspectacular wide receiver, certainly, and that's the theme for a lot of Tom Brady's career. Troy Brown, 1,199 yards in 2001, that first year with Brady starting, and they won the Super Bowl. I was surprised by how big that number was. The years after that, Deion Branch, David Patton, David Gibbons, good receivers, guys who were like 800, you know, 700-800 yards. That the last Super Bowl for year of this group that we're talking about, where they beat the Panthers, I think both David Patton and David Gibbons had over 800 yards receiving. You know, he was spreading it around, and that's kind of, you know, Tom Brady's thing, you know, is just distributing the football. And they had good receiving out of the backfield that whole time, Kevin Falk, guys like that. Then a lot of good support on the defensive side of things, with the number 6, number 1, and number 3 total defenses, respectively, through their first three Super Bowls. Now, offensive help for Patrick Mahomes. First Super Bowl, Tyreek Hill, awesome. Travis Kelce, so much speed everywhere. Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, a lot of weapons, as they were extremely explosive on offense. Now, without Tyreek, more focus on Travis Kelce, more of, you know, what I would say is comparable to the latter part of Tom Brady's career, you know, with a great tight end, Travis Kelce, Gronk, and more role player wide receivers, whether it's, you know, Juju last year, MVS, Rashee Rice. You know, these are not star guys, you know, in the same way that Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola and Chris Hogan were not star players. But again, we want to, you know, stay looking at trying to make an apples to apples comparison. First 6 years of Tom Brady's career versus the first 6 years now of Patrick Mahomes as a starter. And those Chiefs defenses, better than I would have thought through their two Super Bowl wins and then this year's potential Super Bowl win next weekend. Chiefs number 7, number 16, and number 2 defenses. So good defenses, not number 6, number 1, and number 3. So averaging the third best defense in the league, but more like, you know, averaging about the 8th, 9th best defense in the league in those 2 years that they won the Super Bowl and then this year where they potentially could do it. So what does this all mean? You know, what should we take from this? Take from it that Mahomes at this point, relative to Brady's career, is far, far ahead of Tom Brady's pace of becoming the greatest quarterback of all time. He is the primary catalyst for his team's success in a very tangible way. As we look back on Tom Brady's career and ask the Brady versus Belichick question, it does seem more and more apparent that Tom Brady was the reason for a lot of their success. And I think the longer his career went on, the more responsible he was for it. But a lot of that is in an intangible way. His work ethic, his leadership. Patrick Mahomes has those intangible qualities as well. They're not going to the AFC Championship every year and the Super Bowl most years because Patrick Mahomes is a bad leader. Clearly his team responds to him and he is a very, very good leader. I think because his physical tools are so outstanding and he makes these spectacular plays, people want to minimize his ability, his intangible qualities, because his tangible qualities are so great. But that doesn't mean that he's less of a good leader because he throws the ball farther and harder than Tom Brady does. So both of them impacting their teams greatly in intangible ways. Patrick Mahomes at this point through their career doing it much more so in a tangible, measurable way, statistics and all that. Some of Brady's greatness in the way that the GOAT conversation is had, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, you know, Patrick Mahomes has only been a starter for 6 years, but people use Brady's entire career against the 6 years of Patrick Mahomes, and that's not the right way to do it. Because some of Brady's greatness is LeBron-esque, as in the LeBron versus Jordan discussion. He's got longevity, he's got just volume. You know, through that longevity, he had 10 cracks at the Super Bowl. He won 7 of them. But even though he has 7 and Jordan only had 6, and you know, that's a parallel that people draw, he's not Jordan, because Jordan didn't miss. Jordan's 6-0 in the Super Bowl. If Tom Brady was 10-0 in the Super Bowl, sure, discussion over forever, no one's ever gonna pass it. But you know, was Joe Montana who was 4-0. Joe Montana in that way is more Jordan-esque, but you know, Brady has the highest number as well. Which LeBron doesn't have, but some of Brady's stuff is LeBron-esque and it's driven by longevity and total volume. Mahomes isn't going to be Jordan either because he's already lost the Super Bowl and he lost it to Tom Brady. But no football player is going to be Jordan-esque in that way because football players just simply can't impact the game in the same way that basketball players can. You know, and to that effect, the year that the Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl, was Tom Brady a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes because the Bucs won and the Chiefs lost? No, he wasn't. If you watched those games, he just wasn't better. Patrick Mahomes was missing both tackles for the Super Bowl. They were with him for almost the entire year, missing them for the Super Bowl. He had no time to throw, and he still made or came close to making some of the craziest plays I've ever seen, you know, these diving throws. He, as an individual, was a greater player than Tom Brady at that time. Tom Brady's team was greater in that moment. Football, ultimate team game. So yeah, the quarterbacks are getting all the credit for the wins, but at the end of the day, it's not, you know, a quarterback stat. It shouldn't be a quarterback stat because these first three Super Bowls, certainly for the Patriots, were much more about great run games and great defenses than they were about who would eventually become the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. Brady really had, you know, he had three stages to his career. That's what's so, one of the things that's so remarkable about him. He had these first 6-7 years when they won 3 Super Bowls and he was a game manager, you know, and people can take that as a pejorative. Who cares? He's got 3 rings to show for it. Later in his career, the middle section, he had these really exceptional individual numbers, throwing to Randy Moss, throwing to Wes Welker, throwing to young Gronkowski, to, all things aside, an extremely talented player in Aaron Hernandez. And then the later stage of his career, you know, distributing the ball so effectively and leading so effectively to these lesser weapons, Edelman, Amendola, Gronk still there. You know, he's throwing to a lacrosse player, Chris Hogan. When he got to the Bucs, he had great weapons again. And, you know, the latter stage of his career where he wins the 4 more Super Bowls and has, you know, all these incredible comebacks and these tremendous moments. Patrick Mahomes seemed in some ways to enter the second stage of his career this year. It was not, we have so much speed and so many weapons everywhere and Mahomes can make every throw, any time, and we're just going to score 40 points and it doesn't matter, to now, in some ways, a game manager, you know, more game management type of role for him to allow their really exceptional defense to help win them games, to use the maturity in his decision-making to have a second half like he did against the Ravens, where he knew they have a 10-point lead. They don't need to take, a 7-point lead and then eventually a 10-point lead. He doesn't need to take risks. He doesn't need to force it in on even a 60-40 or 70-30 type of ball. You know, he just needs to manage the game. Yeah, and again, people use it as a pejorative, but if you're winning that way, who cares? You know, we can call him, like I like to for Brock Purdy, a game executive. So if the Chiefs win next weekend and beat the 49ers and Patrick Mahomes becomes a 3-time Super Bowl champion, and with that, probably a 3-time Super Bowl MVP to go along with his 2 regular season MVPs, will he be already the greatest quarterback of all time? No, but he is certainly on his way. Does he need to win 7 Super Bowls to be the greatest of all time? No. If he wins 4, if he wins 5, you know, his individual accomplishments plus the eye test are going to be far beyond Tom Brady's. And Tom Brady, you know, still may have the most accomplished career, but in the same way that Michael Jordan didn't win more NBA championships than Bill Russell, no one thinks that Bill Russell is the greatest player of all time. It's Michael Jordan. If it's not Michael, then it's LeBron. You know, Tom Brady is kind of combining some different elements from all these guys, but Patrick Mahomes will be well past the pace through 6 years as a starter of where Tom Brady was at this point. Is, you know, Tom Brady accelerated as an individual player beyond those first 6 years? Patrick Mahomes has the ability to do that too. It would be kind of unimaginable because, like, where would he go from here? But he's clearly a hardworking, diligent guy who's not, you know, complacent in his arm talent, letting that do everything for him. He's growing as a player. Their team is going to change and adapt to retirements and salary cap stuff. So he's certainly on his way. I think he will have definitely cemented himself as, you know, if his career ended after the Super Bowl, if they are to win, as the second greatest quarterback of all time. And if that happened and he retired or whatever, it would be the craziest, like, well, what could have been? But we probably won't be asking ourselves what could have been because we'll see it play out. But if you're being genuine about how you want to have this conversation, you have to compare apples to apples and look at the early part of Tom Brady's career, where the narrative around him was very much game manager, not most spectacular, most excellent quarterback of all time, as the way that Patrick Mahomes has spoken about. You can compare their team's accomplishments and their individual accomplishments. You know, they're part of their team, the most important part of their team, but they don't block, they don't play defense. You know, they can distribute the ball to the people they can distribute it to and help their team win the game. So another narrative that exists about the, you know, compared to Tom Brady is with my friend Brock Purdy. Let me take a quick sip of this Chapman Crafted beer, Smash Factor. Now, this comparison is going to come about a lot because of being a very low draft pick, number 199 for Tom Brady, Mr. Irrelevant for Brock Purdy, and this game manager label that gets thrown about. As I just finished talking about, that game manager label for the early part of Tom Brady's career was very accurate. For Brock Purdy, it is not. He throws the ball down the field, he moves, he runs, he makes big plays. Tom Brady, you know, 2.1 air yards per attempt, and I think his number was like 6.6 for his career air yards per completion. Brock Purdy's at 9.6, 3 yards more. Does he throw screens to Debo and CMC? Sure. Did Tom Brady throw screens to, you know, Kevin Falk and all these short passes, definitely. Brock Purdy's not a check down merchant. He pushes the ball down the field. He's much more on the gunslinger side of things than the game manager side of things. With that said, the real comparison for Brock Purdy, and a lot of this is coming from a great article in The Athletic by David Lombardi, my favorite 49ers reporter and writer. The real comparison for Brock Purdy is to Hall of Famer, two-time MVP, Kurt Warner. So let's look at Brock Purdy versus Kurt Warner. First off, super nice guys, also very religious guys. I think a notable thing about both of them. Both either the lowest draft pick, or undrafted. Both replaced injured quarterbacks. Both led historically efficient offenses, and both had awesome weapons around them. 99, 2000, 2001, Kurt Warner, and those Rams teams, the greatest show on turf. When your boy was in like eighth grade and freshman year in high school, playing NFL 2K, at some point, they had NFL 2K 14 or whatever, they got NBA 2K, that kind of stuff. It was just NFL 2K on my Sega Dreamcast. That Rams team was unstoppable. Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Oz Hazir Hakeem, Ricky Prohl, Ernie Cornwell, I think was the tight end. But Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, the real stars of that. Incredible team, super fun. They were kind of early in the passing revolution that, now most of the NFL is on board with. Different in the ways that the 49ers offense is amazing in its power and its physicality and the speed, and creativity that they combine with that, where the Rams offense just overwhelmed you with speed and finesse. They're all four of those receivers I mentioned, and then Marshall Faulk running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield. A lot of parallels between Marshall Faulk and CMC to be had. So those are the similarities as we look at Kurt Warner and Brock Purdy. Looking at them statistically through their first 2 years as starters, Warner's first year as a starter, he took over for Trent Green when Trent Green got injured, started most of the 99 season, and then won the Super Bowl against the Titans, and then in the 2000 season he was playing for most of the year and then went out with a thumb injury. But we're looking at a pretty similar number of starts for him in those first 2 years versus Brock Purdy coming in later in his first year in the league when Jimmy went down with a broken ankle, and now this entire 2023 season looking at the 2024 Super Bowl. So yards, 269 yards per game for Brock Purdy, 288 yards per game for Kurt Warner. 68.7% completion percentage for Purdy, 66.2% for Warner, 2.1 touchdowns for Purdy, 2.3 for Warner, 0.7 interceptions for Brock per game, 1.1 interceptions per game for Warner, 9.6 yards per attempt for Brock Purdy, 9.9 yards per attempt for Kurt Warner. Two historically efficient offenses, some of the best offensive DVOAs of all time. Some of the highest EPA per dropbacks, EPA per plays for quarterbacks of all time, if you're into those kind of efficiency stats. So a lot of similarities there. Kurt, a little bit more explosive with the higher yards per attempt and the more yards per game. Also turning the ball over a little bit more. That's not insignificant, the difference between 0.7 interceptions and 1.1 interceptions. Originally Dick Vermeil and then Mike Martz following that. And Mike Martz was this, mad scientist of football, mad scientist of the passing game for Kurt Warner, and Kyle Shanahan, certainly extremely creative and so influential on the way that NFL offenses are run right now. But what differs between them, both these, nice Christian guys, both have great weapons around them, both lead the historically efficient offenses, both replaced injured quarterbacks, both coming out of nowhere as either the lowest draft pick or, bagging groceries and then making it to the NFL. For all those similarities, the narratives around them are very different. Kurt Warner was, in his first 3 years in the NFL, a two-time MVP, and the year in between, his running back, Marshall Faulk, was the MVP. He's getting celebrated for distributing to all these weapons, where Brock Purdy seems to get, you know, I don't know if vilified is the right word, but denigrated because he has so many weapons to distribute it to. When people want to say, well, Brock Purdy's the 10th best guy on his team, or he shouldn't be the MVP at CMC. One of those years, Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner were actually 1-2 in the MVP voting. Marshall Faulk was historic. You know, CMC had an amazing year this year, and he's had that 1,000-1,000 year. And you know who they talk about? This is, you know, the only guys to do this since LaDainian Tomlinson and Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk was incredible. He was one of the greatest of all time. Besides that, I killed it with him on NFL 2K. But Kurt Warner's getting celebrated as this. He's winning the MVPs even when his running back is also, you know, splitting votes or stealing votes from him. Neither of them are particularly physically talented, and they both distributed it to great weapons as an accurate, great decision maker. And when I say not physically talented, you know, they're not very big, you know, they're not the strongest arms. Brock Purdy is a very good runner, much better runner than Kurt Warner. You know, he's very thick in the ass, big booty Brock. So, you know, he's more athletic, but, you know, the arm talent on either of them, they're not Josh Allen, they're not Patrick Mahomes. But they both distributed it to great weapons. So it's weird that almost being undrafted, I think, for Kurt Warner was an advantage versus Brock Purdy being the literal last pick in the draft, aka Mr. Irrelevant. Because being undrafted and going from the Arena League to bagging groceries to the Super Bowl is an element of unknown. It's unquantifiable. Like, he was this undiscovered diamond in the rough. Where Brock Purdy, because he is the last pick, that is quantifiable to people. It's quantifiable in the sense that they say he's the worst player in the draft the whole year. He's the last pick. And that narrative is staying with Brock Purdy. And it stood with Tom Brady for the first, you know, probably through the first three Super Bowls that he won, because they're like, well, he's a game manager. And that's why, you know, besides that, actually watching him, the eye test, yes, he was a game manager, but that was really the narrative around him too. And that's the narrative around Brock Purdy. Even though it's when you watch Brock Purdy play, as I've watched every 49ers game this year, he is not anywhere near a game manager. Does he make very good decisions? Yes. Does he distribute the ball effectively to his weapons? Definitely. But that a game manager does not make. So I think it was, yeah, kind of an advantage for Kurt Warner to be undrafted because he was unknown rather than this quantifiably last pick in the draft, worst player in the draft idea that Brock Purdy has had. Because Brock Purdy is getting punished for having weapons and effectively distributing the ball to them. But did we punish Kurt Warner for distributing the ball effectively to Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt? No, we gave him two MVP awards. Did we punish Peyton Manning for having Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark on his team? No, we gave him four MVP awards. You know, what about Joe Montana? And he has Jerry Rice, the greatest wide receiver of all time, and John Clark and Roger Craig, one of the great dual threat backs of all time. You know, young Aaron Rodgers with Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson and all these. Every great player has weapons around them. They're not throwing it and then catching it. You know, that is probably the standout part of Tom Brady, that he had probably the least weapons, the lesser of weapons around him. But, you know, it was scheme and system and all that. But Brock Purdy to Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, two-time MVP Kurt Warner, that's a very accurate comparison, I think. You know, that they were, would Kurt Warner have been a great quarterback in, you know, the year 2000 or 2001, if he would have played for the New England Patriots and he was thrown into the guys that Tom Brady was? I don't know. Maybe. Would he have been great on the Colts, you know, instead of Peyton Manning? Would he have been great on the Packers instead of Brett Favre, or the Titans instead of Steve McNair, or, you know, insert whatever team you want? I don't know. But it doesn't matter because he wasn't the quarterback of those teams. Just like Brock Purdy is not the quarterback of the Chiefs or the Bills or the Ravens. He's the quarterback of the 49ers, and he's great at being the quarterback of the 49ers, and I love watching him. So let's stop punishing him for being great at distributing to his weapons and understand what he is. He is this generation's Kurt Warner, coming from nowhere, underdog story. Maybe they're going to make a movie about him one day. Who knows? A lot of that could start next Sunday if and when he leads the 49ers to the Super Bowl. Also, there's this narrative, you know, that Mike Florio and some other people are talking about of, if Brock Purdy plays bad, you know, they're going to move on from him next year because they talked about, you know, bringing in Tom Brady last year, that if Brock's elbow wasn't healthy and they could get Tom Brady, that they were going to start Tom Brady. Yeah, of course they were going to, because it was Tom Brady. But this idea that if Brock has a really bad Super Bowl, I mean, certainly there's no cap to how bad anyone could play. If Brock Purdy or anyone else went in the Super Bowl and threw six interceptions, might they not be their team's quarterback the next year? Definitely. But Tom Brady is not waiting, you know, around to become the 49ers quarterback potentially next year. Brock Purdy is going to be their quarterback. And when you hear the way that Fred Warner and Trent Williams and Nick Bosa and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan talk about Brock Purdy, they love him because he's a great leader and he is, again, a great quarterback of the 49ers. He's great at being the 49ers quarterback, and that's the most important thing because that's his job. So this was Beers with Chad. I will be back next week. Again, today's beer, Chapman Crafted Beer Smash Factor. So listen, like, rate, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Next week we'll be talking more Super Bowl. We'll talk some lifting stuff. Send me a DM if you have, you know, questions, life advice questions, lifting questions, anything you want me to talk about. Thanks for listening. Cheers.